You're listening to 1440 in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, visit 1440.com.
As I was praying about today, Kim was joking with me. She goes, "So what are your notes for tonight?" And I was like, "My paper's blank." And she's like, "That's new for you, isn't it?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm kind of uncomfortable." And she was like, "It's okay. The Lord's going to give you something." And so I just spent the afternoon just, "Lord, what do you want to tell these students? You know, it's not about what I want to say. I had a list of things I could talk about. I have messages planned for the next month. But I was like, what do your children need to hear tonight?" And so I just wanted to encourage you guys with a few things. Convention's coming up. It's in like, how many days? 4 days? And so I was thinking about convention coming up, and I was like, you know what? They'll be sitting down a lot the next week or so. And so I was working with Jordan and Mary and Kylie about tonight, and we just wanted to give you guys an opportunity to just have a worship night. But in that, I wanted to kind of focus in on some word and encourage you guys with some things with the upcoming week. I don't know if you guys know it, but Pastor George mentioned on Sunday that EMIC is the host church for Southwest. And so they're hosting it in many ways that we don't even know. And then you can see the ushers and all these different volunteers coming. But that even means that 1440, you are the hosts for 1440 at convention. And so the Lord is really speaking me to that about that in the last, well, a long time. But in the last couple days or so, it's been really real to me how close we are to convention. And I just wanted to let you guys know, you, each and every one of you, are a host at 1440 convention. Just imagine if you were having something at your house and people were coming over, what you would do to prepare yourself for company, for guests, how you would respond to them when you open the door to them and they come in. And I don't know how many of you, your parents have had guests over and you didn't even know it, and you like come out of your bedroom and like, "Oh, there's people here." Has anybody done that before? You're like, "I didn't know anyone was coming." So some of you might not be signed up to volunteer. Some of you are signed up and you're like, "I'm going to be at check-in, I'm going to be at registration, I'm going to be a greeter." You know your position, and so with that, you know what that requires. At check-in, we teach you how to use the computer and how to greet somebody and use their name every time that you can. It shows on the screen, so they think you've remembered, but it just pops up right there and your peripheral goes, "Hi, John." And they're like, "Whoa." So even little things like that. How many of you notice when someone calls you by name, instead of, "Hey, you," it's like, "Hey, Mark. Hey, Jennifer." You're like, "Whoa, you know my name." And it's more personal. And so then there's some of you who are just coming to receive, and that's okay. But even though you're in that chair, you know that someone's come into your house. And so how you talk to people when you go and meet ones and they're like, "Where are you from?" You're like, "I'm actually from 1440. You're like, "Really? What's that like?" And you talk to them. And so you represent 1440, whether you have a badge on, whether you have a name tag, or us introducing you with a title. This is your home church, and you are welcoming people into it next week. We're not in here, but we're downtown, and it's just a change of location, but we're welcoming people into our home. And so I just wanted to, if you didn't know that, let you know that we are the hosts. And some of you might be sitting here going, "I don't plan on going to convention next week." Don't tune me out here, because everything we're talking about pertains to weekly services or Sunday services. It's not just about convention right now. And so the Lord gave me a few scriptures to share with you about this week. And we've been talking about true love and what true love is. And so we've done a lot of talking about true love. But this is really an opportunity to put that into action, to walk it out day by day, every day next week. You're going to be with a bunch of people for longer hours than you're used to. You know, you wake up at 7 a.m. Some of you who are on the force for Super Kids. Some of you are staying downtown. I know I have the same roommate for 3 years now, and we already have we got our cooler. We don't get refrigerators, okay, because I save my money. So I use a cooler. And today I found out I'm in a different hotel, and the refrigerator is even more expensive than last year. And so I was like, you know what? If Little House on the Prairie can survive without a refrigerator, so can Jen. So, for those of you who don't know Little House on the Prairie, I just dated myself. But I used to watch it when I was in first grade, and I loved it. But anyways, so next week, I already got this plan going, but I already know it's going to be a little less sleep. Everybody who knows me knows I like my sleep. It's going to be some odd meals. I like to cook. My refrigerator will become an ice chest, and I'll go to the ice box every morning and haul it back. Last year when I was draining the water out into the bathtub, the ice, the water, and all my food went with it. And If you know me, I don't like germs, and I don't even trust the people that clean the bathtub, so I threw all my food away. And I called Nicole and said, hey, what? She always asks, what do you need? I said, deli meat and bread, go now. And so I'd lost everything in the bathtub. So some things might not go as planned next week. And you might be eating things that aren't as fun as when you're at home or when you think, oh, that would be nice right now. And they say, you know what? We're given for dinner, it's pizza or it's peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And you thank God that you have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And so just want to encourage you in some things. Things don't always go as planned, but that's okay. It's the attitude and it's our heart that'll dictate how it really goes. And so the Lord brought me to a scripture, John 13:34. Let's turn there. It's talking about why we should love. If I get there. John 13:34 says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. For your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And so I was asking the Lord, like, what does love really mean? Why do we even love? And that scripture right there says it, that it proves to the world that we belong to him, that we are followers of Christ. We represent him. And so next week when you're dealing with people, sometimes people have special circumstances and that might not be the easiest to accommodate, or they might come in with bearing a load or having a bad day. And so we have a choice that when we greet those people, to greet them at their level and respond the way they're responding, or we have another choice to respond in love. And so I was learning just this week about love, and I was telling a friend last night, I was like, I did not realize how much growth is needed in my love walk. You know, it was all flowers and butterflies, you know, and then the last couple days I've just been, wow, like, I really need to, Pastor George has been talking about your words. I had to watch my words. And in staff prayer yesterday, we took communion and over Southwest and over each of the services, and we broke out into groups, and so I was in the group praying for children and youth services, and so we took communion over that, and when we took communion, the Lord really cautioned us. Pastor Kim was sharing how he had given her some words about watching your mouth, and when you take communion, it seals it. And when you come to him and say, Lord, I'm laying it down, when you walk away, you don't pick it back up. You don't start saying the same things that you were saying about your frustrations or what's not going the way you want. You just sealed it. And if you really trust him and his word to bring it to pass, then your attitude and your words should reflect that trust on him. And so when we talk about loving each other, it's not just because it's, you know, a butterflies fun word. Most of the time, love when it happens when rubber meets the road and you have an opportunity to walk out of love. That's when you walk into love. And so it's a conscious choice. I will love in this situation. I could react. You know, I got an email the other day and I just immediately went, oh, and just wanted to like lash out. And the Lord's like, it's not even their fault. How many of you had a miscommunication with someone before? Both sides are pure. You realize that their heart is a certain way. But in your flesh, you just want to let them have it, you know, and let them know I'm right. I'm always right. I'm never wrong, you know, and you just, and the Lord's like, Jennifer, and I'm like, you're right. Okay, you're right. I'm not always right. And so we got to remind ourselves sometimes that it's not always fun and games, that it's not always easy, but that's when you draw on his strength for that. And so the one bottom line that I could say for this week is that we've learned about true love, and we've talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. But when we talk about love, God is love. Everything about him, today I was typing and I said, God is filled with love. And the Lord's like, no, I am love. Like everything, it's not just like he's been dumped into. It's everything he is. Every fiber of his being is love. And as his children, we have that. We have the ability to respond and to react and to act out of love in everything we do. And not only just respond in love, but be moved by compassion. There's been times where I don't want to do something. I've told you guys before when I volunteered on the streets of Seattle, there was a day when I was like, you don't know what's going on in my life. I do not have the time or the energy to pour out today. And the Lord's like, go. And I went and I realized what people needed, that it wasn't about Jen anymore. That the things I were dealing with that I thought could have left me home and kept me home didn't matter anymore because I realized the need that people have. And so you'll be coming to this, and you might be saying, well, I don't have this, and I don't have this, and I don't have this. I could tell you story after story of people I've heard coming to convention that don't have anything. There's a homeless man that showed up last year to volunteer in 1440. Couldn't give us an address, couldn't give us a phone number because he didn't have one. He was homeless. But yet I was complaining that day because I hadn't had a chance to go to the grocery store yet. Now I'm going to have to go at night after my meetings and be at the store late at night. Now I'm going to have to go to bed later. And those are my thoughts in my head. And he doesn't even have a home to go to that night. He doesn't have a number to put down for me to call him. And so there's going to be people there this week. Don't assume that everybody came there. Everybody's staying in a hotel. Everybody, you know, has money, a place to stay that night, something to eat. Let the Lord move you this week on the people that you're going to encounter. Let yourselves be servants there. Be a host. Look at it as someone's coming into my home and how can I serve them? How can I make their stay most enjoyable, most comfortable? And the Lord's going to bless you in that. 1 John 3:18, let's turn there if you have it. If not, most of you don't because you're sitting right in front of me. I'll turn there. Unless they beat me on the screen. Yes, they beat me. Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other, but let us show the truth by our actions. And that's what love is. We've been talking about it. We've been sharing it, praying about it, confessing it. But this is the time to show that we really, really love each other. Do you have, does it go any further up there, Anne-Marie? I think there's the next scripture I wanted to show. Yeah. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. So your actions are what show that you believe what you're saying. So many times we say things, but how many of you checked your heart before and been like, do I really believe this? Like if I was asked to prove it, would I know how? Or could I trust the Lord to prove it? And so this is our opportunity to say, Lord, I trust you. Let me be a vessel this week. This is how I'm going to show people I love them, is not just with my words, but with my actions. Romans 12:9 says, don't just pretend that you love each other. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of good. Love each other with a genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy in your work, but serve enthusiastically. And so sometimes, you know, it says love genuinely. How many of you have given a fake smile before? You're like, you forced it to everything you had to give that smile. My mom used to say, Jen, fake it till you make it. Like, it doesn't matter if you don't feel like it. Smile. And then she started to say, you know what? I'm correcting that. Faith it till you make it. So put that faith out there. Because if you say, well, it's not genuine, so I might as well not do it. Nope, that's not what I'm saying either. I'm saying the heart change. If you're willing and you want to, that's where it matters. And the Lord sees that. And so let this week be a genuine motivation to love somebody. Ask the Lord each day, each service, Lord, who am I here for? So many times we go to these things because we, Lord, I need to hear from you. I need to hear an answer to this. And I have those lists too. There's some things I'm believing for answers for. In August, my lease is up. I don't know where I'm going to move. I don't know. I've been in the same place for 2 years and it's really bothering me. The other day, I almost got a boxes down and just started packing things and throwing stuff on the curb. I'm like, I just want to get rid of it all. Just want to give it away. I know I'm going to go somewhere where I don't need any of it. And the Lord's like, hold on. Don't do anything. Just keep searching me for that. So sometimes it's like, we just want to do something, but he's like, wait on me. I've shared the scripture with you in Psalms. It says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. So there's some things you're believing for this week. Lord, I need answers on this. I need you to show up on this. I need this paid. I'm believing for this and it really blessed me. There's people there who are doing the exact same thing. So I'm not saying not to have those things you're believing for. But it says to be as Christ is, and he always put others before himself, always. His motivation was others. So I'm just encouraging you this week, when you go there, receive. Yes, when you're in service, be writing notes vigorously. Worship with everything you have. But don't lose sight that there's people around you who may not have a place to go that night, who may not have lunch money, who may not have friends. There might be people who are there by themselves, sitting by themselves. You know, they might be surrounded by people, but they're lonely. And so reach out to people. Let the Lord speak to you and ask him. He will answer you. He will point people out to you. He'll create opportunity for you to bless people. And not everything requires money. A smile, an encouraging word, taking your time, that will go a long way with people. And so Sometimes they're not going to receive it that way. And don't view rejection as, oh, well, I shouldn't do this to anyone else then. I tried. It's not going to work again. Not everybody receives things. Some people aren't used to being asked how they're doing. They're not used to having something paid for them. So it's really hard for them to receive. And so that's where we can step in. And when it's out of a pure motivation, you don't want anything returned. You know, people are like, well, I'll pay you back. No, really. It's okay. The Lord told me to bless you. And so this week, I'm going to do that assignment. And so I just encourage you guys to do that too. Thank you. And one more thing. In preparing, I was asking the Lord, how do I prepare for this week? And how many of you have a routine? I guess it's summer. Your routine might be a little different. Oh, you guys aren't routine people. Okay. Well, for those of you who are, you wake up. Well, most of you wake up and go to bed. I mean, hopefully. I know in the summer sometimes that is in reverse order and reverse times, but for the next coming week, things, you know, you might not be able to watch your favorite show during the day if you're at service. You might not be able to eat the things you normally eat. You have your cell phone. How many of you have your cell phone with you right now? Okay. How many of you have internet and text messaging on your phone? Okay. So at any given moment, we could all just be texting each other. Oh, I wonder if my friend's Facebook status has changed. Ooh, I wonder if I've been tagged in a new photo. You might be doing that right now. I don't know. There'll be an opportunity to do that throughout the week. I have my cell phone on me because there's different people in different locations who want to try to get a hold of me, and so I always have it on me. And so there's opportunity for distraction. Just the other day, I picked up my phone to do something like write a note to myself. And on it was a voicemail message, a Facebook message, a text message, a Twitter update, and all these were in my status bar, like, you need to check this. And I was like, I don't want to. And I hit clear. Oh, look, no more notifications. That was awesome. You know, I'm sure people wanted to get a hold of me at that time, but it wasn't the time. You know when it's the right time and the wrong time to be in your phone. When you're in service, that's the wrong time. And so I'm just going to encourage you guys, I'm not going to assume that if your phone's out that you're not taking notes, that you're not using it as your Bible. But I do encourage you, if that is your tendency, try to bring a notepad that week. Bring the actual word with you. There's something about opening it up and seeing it on paper, turning the pages. There's something about the word of God versus your electronics. And so I'm not saying it's a sin to do that, but I'm just encouraging you, if that's what you always do, try something new that week. And it helps turn off the distractions. And so the Lord was talking to me about how can we turn off the distractions. And he was talking to me about fasting. And fasting is one way to turn off distractions. Let's turn to Isaiah 58:6. Yeah. Got it. No, the kind of fasting I want calls to free those who are wrongly imprisoned and to stop oppressing those who work for you. Treat them fairly and give them what they earn. I want you to share your food with the hungry, to welcome the poor wanderers into your home. Give clothes to those who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need your help. If you do these things, your salvation will come like the dawn. Your healing will come quickly. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call the Lord, he will answer. Yes, I am here. He will reply very quickly. And so as I was reading this today, I was like, Lord, you know, what am I supposed to lay down? And it seems to be almost every year I lay down media, movies, TV. I'm in a hotel room. They have lots of channels. I'm at home right at my house right now. I have a TV, but it gets nothing but that little static fuzz. And so I watch videos on it. I even can now hook up my computer to my TV and stream internet. And so I can watch shows, you know, from CBS.com, ABC.com. I can watch TV, but I don't have TV. So when I'm in a hotel room, it's like flip, 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 flip. Ooh, look at all the things I can watch. During Southwest, I don't watch TV. You know, it's sitting right there in front of the bed, but I choose not to watch it. Because when I'm in my room, it's very small amount of time, but I don't want my time to be just wasting my time clicking. Same with movies. I like to watch movies because clearly I don't have TV. So I watch more movies than I watch TV because I don't have cable. I'm not bringing my laptop. Well, I might bring my laptop. I'm not bringing my DVDs with me. You know, like, huh. But I'm not going to bring my DVDs with me and watch a movie every night I go to bed. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those things, but those become distractions for me, become defaults. Every time I come home, oh, I just want to sit on the couch and rest for a minute. Oh, I haven't caught up on my show. And so I watch something. And so ask the Lord this week. Those are the two things I'm going to do as media, TV and movies. And my roommate and I, we both do the same thing, so it doesn't create temptation where I have to leave the room or whatever, or ask her not to do that. We're in agreement, and those are the things that we fast in the week. But and media, I'll probably be on social media because I do Twitter and Facebook for 1440, but I'm going to challenge myself during services at least, if I'm not going to fast those things 100% for the week, that when I'm in service, I'm focusing on the Lord. How many of you have been in a conversation before and you're talking to someone and they're on their phone and they're texting and you're like, hello, you're like, am I even here? Like, I could walk away, you don't even know it. Well, if I'm in service or I'm praying and I'm worshiping, reading my Bible, and then it's like, oh, my best friend just texted. That's like having a conversation with the Lord and being like, can you hold that for a second? Hold on. Yeah, I think that's totally cool. Oh my gosh, I like him too. And just going off on these random things. Okay, God, I'm ready again. Let's go back to this. And then beep, my phone goes off again. It happened when I was working today. I'm like sitting here studying. My phone's going off. I'm studying. It rings. And I'm like, I know people need me, but I need to prepare. And you're like torn between it. Silence the phone. Don't pull it out unless you're using it for the word in the notebook. And again, I'm suggesting the actual thing. Let the distractions be turned off for a week. And you'll be amazed what you can see, what you'll hear, what you'll be able to sense. Sometimes I've talked to different people and they're like, you know, you have the people who worship and they're like, I cry, I get goosebumps, the hair stands up on my arms, I've heard the Lord audibly. And then you talk to other people and they're like, I physically or emotionally don't feel any of those things. Sometimes we have so much going on around us. Like I said, those notifications on our phone are so loud and so in our face that it's hard to think or see anything else than what's directly in front of us. And so sometimes people are like, Jen, I'm having a hard time hearing from the Lord. And I ask, well, what are you hearing? Like, what are you spending your time listening to? What music are you listening to? How many times are you on the phone? Are you constantly text messaging, even if you're watching a movie or talking with your friends? Like, what are you doing with your time? Because I find that when I limit some of those things, the noise comes down. And I don't always mean like audible noise, but just that constant brain activity. You're constantly thinking about people, constantly thinking about what you're going to do next, what I'm going to eat next. I read your guys' things. I asked, what are the top two things you think about? Most of you put food, boys and girls, and school. So now I guess in the summer it would be sleep, food, boys and girls. So I'm assuming it hasn't changed much other than school got taken out of the equation, unless you're a senior and now you're like, what am I supposed to do with school or with ministry? But at the same time, you got those distractions and things to pray about, and you're saying, I don't have time to think or pray about it, but you have this opportunity now to spend your time how you want to spend it. How many of you like just couldn't wait for summer to come? Like, I can't wait to get out of school. I just want summer. Please just let it be done. For those of you not raising your hand, I don't really believe you. And then now summer's here, and now your Facebook status say, I'm bored, there's nothing to do. And I'm thinking, if I could have 3 months off, do you know what I would do with my time? And so if you've been thinking throughout the school year, oh, if I just had this time, well, you have it now. So what were you wanting to do with it? Let this week be an opportunity for the Lord to give you answers for those things, to speak to you on those things that you are believing for or that you want answers to, or that you're wanting healing and restoration. And it doesn't always have to be I'm believing for something tangible, like I want money, I want clothes, I want food. It can be other things. We all have family. We all have a past. And I'm not saying it is all here today, because when you ask for forgiveness, you move on. But sometimes those things linger in your mind. And so I want this to be an opportunity where if you have things that have been weighing on your mind or have been plaguing you, that you lay those down, that you, for once and for all, say, I'm not coming back with this. When you walk out that door tonight, you leave changed. When you walk into convention and leave from convention, you leave changed. And so that choice comes with, how am I going to come into convention? And what am I going to do while I'm sitting in my chair? And when you have from the Lord, he's going to come. He's going to answer you, just like we read, that he will reply to you. How many of you like broccoli? Wow.
Lies.
I'm like, that didn't work as I planned. You're like, why did she ask about broccoli? Okay, put your hands down. Let's try something else. Brussels sprouts. I actually like them, okay? Anyways, how many of your parents, my parents had the rule growing up, you have to have at least one bite of everything in front of you. They wouldn't let me be picky. And then some of you have the parents who are like, clean the plate, I don't care. And then some of you are like, sure, I'll make you another meal. I never had that growing up. There was one meal served in my house. If you didn't want it, you didn't get it. But you didn't get anything else either. And why am I saying this? Well, because sometimes the things you want, you don't always crave. Now, broccoli was a bad example. But some things there's your parents put in front of you and say, you need a balanced diet. And you're like, I don't want that. I really was just hoping for some ice cream and cookies afterwards. Yeah. Don't, right? Or can't we have pizza every meal? I mean, it has dairy and it has the carbohydrates. The tomato paste could be the vegetable. I mean, and I'm sure you've given, I got an amen. But at the same time, some of these things don't sound fun. As soon as I said fasting, some of you probably went like, ugh. Did not want to hear that. I'll tune her out. And then when Kylie gets back up, I'll tune back in. But really, sometimes these things don't sound good. Like, I don't want to cut that out. But how many of you have fasted before where you cut something out and within a couple days it's like, I didn't think I could live without it, and now I don't even want it anymore. And so that's, you're like, no, not exactly. Still like my pizza. But there's things that, ask the Lord, there's a difference between you having a hold of something and something having a hold of you. So if I listed something and you immediately cringed, like, no, don't take it. If I said texting, if I said Facebook, if I said chocolate, and you freak out, that might be a sign that it has a hold of you. And you're laughing, but you're like, man, she nailed it. So ask the Lord tonight. I'm not going to tell everybody 1440 is fasting chocolate. 1440 is fasting Facebook. But I am asking you. Now you guys are all thinking, okay, what is that thing? But I am asking you to ask the Lord, what has a hold of me that I need to lay down to make sure that I have control over it? And so that's what's going to open you up this week to be able to receive better. As we read in this scripture, there's different things while fasting is important. It gets rid of the distractions and silences the noises. How many know food does talk? Like right now, some of you might be hungry going, I want it to be over so I can get to Remix, so I can buy that pizza, or so I can go home, because we always go to Sonic or Starbucks afterwards. And it's talking to you. It's taking your attention away. Well, when you lay some of those things down, it's less to think about. It's frivolous thoughts. Another thing is it draws you closer to God. One of the questions on the ask on the 1440.com said, how do I hunger God and how do I fill it? And you hunger for God by asking him to fill that. There's times where you don't feel like waking up early to read the Bible. There's times where, you know, you've had a bad day and you don't feel like worshiping. But it's not about our feelings. And so it takes that act of faith to say, I may be tired, I may be hungry, but I'm going to lay those things aside and worship my God. Do you want me to use that?
Thanks. A few more things real quick, and then we'll go back to worship. It positions you to hear from the Lord and to receive direction. So if some of you are wanting to hear from him this week and receive direction, that's how you're going to do it. Is by tuning into him. And whatever that means, whatever the noise is in your life, tuning that down so that you can turn his voice up. And then in this scripture when it says, if you do these things, your salvation will come like dawn, your healing will come quickly, and your godliness will move you forward into the glory of the Lord. You will be protected, and when you call, he will answer. So if you're needing healing, if you're needing to hear from him, if you need peace and assurance of your salvation, by laying things down, you're going to be able to clearly receive that from the Lord and without doubting, know beyond a shadow of a doubt whatever he's been telling you. And so we're going to enter back into worship. And Kylie, if we could finish with the start with the song we just finished off with, How He Loves Us, and change the lyrics to the me, make it personal, how he loves me. And if there's, just ask the Lord. We're going to continue worshiping for probably another 20, 30 minutes. They have more songs prepared for you. But don't let this be a time to like look around and see what everyone else is doing. Oh, I haven't checked my Facebook in 20 minutes. Something might have happened really important. Or thinking about that food that you want real bad. Let this be a time of surrender to the Lord, laying all the distractions down and saying, Lord, what do you have for me next week? What do I need to do to better position myself to receive from you? And if you're not going to convention, this applies to every day of your life. If things get really loud and really noisy and you're getting distracted or things are getting hard, these are ways to turn down all of those voices so you can turn up the voice of the Lord. And sometimes it doesn't sound as good. You know, like, I really want to watch a movie right now, but I know I'm supposed to be in the Word. I really want that pizza, but I'm going to have chicken and broccoli instead. Sometimes it doesn't sound good, but when you're done, you'll feel better. How many of you have ever gorged on, like, sugar and candy, and you just afterwards feel disgusting? Sometimes when you have those all-nighters with movies and all-nighters with food, you just feel disgusting. Well, if you gorge on the Word of God, you will not feel disgusting. It won't fail you. You won't regret it. It does not fail. And so tonight, don't let the voice of whatever you've been craving or what entertains you be louder than the voice of the Lord saying, if you want these things from me, all I'm asking is you to give me this. And so tonight, just ask the Lord, what am I supposed to give you to receive what I'm asking from you? You give, you receive. That's what we've talked about all the time. So what are you going to give and lay down to him so that you might receive from him? So we're going to continue that if the band wants to come up and you guys can stand up and enter into worship. We're just going to let this time be about him.
1440 is a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. For more information or if you have any questions about what you have heard here, visit 1440.com or email staff@1440.com.